Hello, you are listening to the Modern Web Podcast, where we explore next-generation frameworks, standards, and techniques. I'm Tracy Lee, at Lady Lee on Twitter, and you can find us online at modern-web.org. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Modern Web Podcast. Very, very excited today to have Matt and Jameson on the podcast. And
hello.
Hi.
Hello.
guys, who are you and how can we find you on the internet?
I'll go first. My name is Matt Zabriskie. You can find me on Twitter. It's probably the easiest, just M Zabriskie. Yeah, look me up, I guess.
And your beard.
And my beard. My beard has its own Twitter account. I don't know who runs it, so I don't take any responsibility for the content it posts, but Zabriskie's beard is a Twitter handle and someone's doing stuff with it.
So your beard has a mind of its own,
yeah.
Is what you're saying?
It does.
Views are my own. That needs to be added.
There's actually in the local community JavaScript Slack, there's actually an emoji for his beard too. So
that's true.
it's a thing now.
And Jameson, what about you? How can we stalk you?
I'm Jameson Dance. I'm probably Jurgison on Twitter is the best way to talk to me. I found out that .dance is a top level domain, so I own jameson.dance. That is my website where I very rarely post stuff. That's
awesome.
That's how you find me. Is this like a what do you do thing too?
Well, you know, I'm sure everybody listening doesn't quite know who everybody is, so
yeah.
Mainly we do the introductions so that you're more stalkable.
Okay.
You can find me on Twitter at Lady Late, and then Ben is one of the core contributors or creators of RxJS5, and so you can find Ben at Ben Lish. Right, Ben? Do you have a beard handle, Twitter handle?
No, it's I have a lack of beard handle. Like maybe there should be like Ben Lesh's lack of beard, like Twitter.
Ben Lesh's smooth cheeks.
Yeah. That has so many meanings and I love it.
Oh yeah.
You should definitely do that.
I don't know if I have enough time to manage another Twitter handle.
Why did you lose your job at Netflix? Well, somebody made a Twitter account about my butt. So, all right. Well, We don't want to sit around talking about my butt all day. So maybe we do. But you guys are running React Rally, is that right?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. So how did you come to organize React Rally? Like what inspired you to do it?
I think it started like almost two years ago. I was just kind of getting into React, and I got into a Twitter thread. James Long said something about, hey, like it would be really cool if there was a React conference. And I said, hey, I'd totally help with that. And James is like, yeah, me too. And then next thing we knew, we were organizing a conference. Instead of helping, though, we were like actually doing it.
Yeah, it was a little before, when was it? It was before the Facebook conference got announced. And we both kind of do community stuff, like run meetups and go to conferences and things like that. And I think we both had just wanted to get the community more involved and also kind of showcase Salt Lake, which I think is a pretty good JavaScript scene. I'm kind of biased because that's where I live, but it's a great place to come and do tech and do JavaScript specifically. And we are both really excited about React too. So it's kind of the motivation. It turns out it's really easy to take the first step towards running a conference, which is just you say, I would like to do a conference. And then it like pulls you along until it's too late to escape.
Right. I definitely agree that Salt Lake City is a great venue for this. I don't know if you knew this or not, but ngConf is actually in the same venue in Salt Lake City. So it's a fantastic venue. And there definitely is there are definitely a lot of folks there that are huge JavaScript fans and great JavaScript developers.
Yeah, Joe Eames that runs ngConf, he was an advisor for us last year. We're friends with him and we just asked him to help us out because we'd never done a conference before. Like we'd done smaller stuff like meetups, as Jameson said, but a conference was kind of outside our wheelhouse. We didn't know what we're getting into. And Joe was a terrific support to us last year, kind of helping us learn the ropes and helping us avoid making super stupid decisions. And a lot of the success last year is thanks to Joe. So shout out to Joe. Thanks.
Oh, that's good, because I somehow was on Angular Air and then agreed to a cruise conference.
Like on a cruise ship?
Yeah. So it's happening next year.
Nice.
You guys should come.
Cool. That sounds amazing.
So what sort of things are going to happen at React Rally that you guys are excited about, or that we should be excited about?
Well, as of now, I'm aware of some plans involving like dinosaur costumes or something.
Yeah. Power Rangers fighting bananas.
I'm pretty excited.
So Power Rangers. I heard costumes. You heard that.
Pretty excited about those.
I heard you heard that Tracy is coming to your conference. Then that's
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That'll be fun.
The Tracy train is pulling in. That's good.
Yeah, I thought about buying the domain because people say the Tracy train a lot, but I figure maintaining another. Maybe that'll be my first React site.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a multi framework at this point. So right now she's Angular 2 and Ember, but she's we've got a React curious, so we'll see what we can do about that.
I'm awesome. Trying to get Michael and Ryan to teach. They'll teach me, right?
Oh, it'll
it'll be amazing.
I'm sure they will, in exchange for some Power Ranger costumes maybe.
Yes. So I had a question though. Like, you know, I hear a lot about, I love community, right? And I hear a lot about the different, you know, I'm very involved in the Ember community. I feel like I'm pretty involved in the Angular community now. And the React community, I've been trying to find like the magic, the spice of life in React. So what do you guys feel like is awesome about the React community? And
do you mean like the center of the community, kind of where everyone gathers?
Yeah, like the love, the magic. So, where does the magic happen?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because I think the React community is different from the communities around other frameworks. And I'm not quite sure why. I haven't written my Medium blog post about it yet, so I don't know. My impression is the React community is they have a lot of different competing ideas, and I think some of that comes from just the nature of React, in that it doesn't make as many decisions for you as the other frameworks. So with Ember, everyone feels very much in line. They all have a large set of common values. This is my outsider impression. They have a large set of common values, and they agree very deeply on lots of things. And with the React community, it feels a little bit more like the JavaScript community as a whole, in that there's all kinds of stuff going on all the time. And everyone, like every week, someone has some new crazy idea, and you can sit down and look at it and either get really excited about it or decide it's horrible and it's going to ruin everything. But there's always just some new thing happening, which makes it, I would say, a little bit more diffused than some of the other communities, because the interest and excitement is spread out across a lot of different ideas. So it's definitely there, and there's definitely people talking about it on Twitter, there's Slack channels, there's Discords, but it feels like people are more spread across different ideas and united by this core interest in React, but different ideas around managing state, or how important it is to do server rendering, or what kind of libraries you use together with React, or things like that.
So yeah, so it's basically because React starts off, when people start using it, as more of like a rendering layer, and everything else is kind of left up to you. People have kind of divided themselves into their own little camps of how they do things with React. Is that's your gut feeling on why the community is different?
Yeah, and I wouldn't even say, I mean, there are definitely people that strongly identify with like Redux or RxJS or these different models for doing things. But I think there are also people that just kind of, they like React and all the other stuff. They're not strongly identified with it, but they're just kind of looking at it and evaluating it.
What sort of innovations have you guys seen in the community, or what projects or paradigms with React are you two particularly excited about?
I want to hear what Matt says.
I'm thinking I kind of a little bit at a disadvantage, because I'm working on a project right now that's just doing vanilla JavaScript. I've been doing that for the last 9 months, so I feel a little bit out of touch with like the new hot bleeding edge React stuff right now. So I don't know if I'm best suited to answer that one, honestly.
What is this vanilla JavaScript you speak of?
Is it a new framework?
It's really lightweight, like 0 byte download.
It's the stuff you put inside the curly braces in your JSX.
Sounds awesome.
Vanilla JS. I totally have to look it up. Yeah,
I think there's a website for it somewhere.
There is, yeah.
It's a Vanilla Rally 2017.
Oh my God. This is an amazing idea.
So, I mean, Redux is I think the one that people talk about the most. I don't know if that qualifies as like a hot new idea anymore because it moves so fast and there's already like the post Redux ideas. But Redux is interesting because I think it has enough people working on it that you're finally starting to see people explore harder problems in it. I mean, the initial pitch for Redux is really great and it makes a lot of sense. And with technical solutions, it can be really easy sometimes to just hear the initial pitch and get excited about it, but not realize that there's a bunch of stuff it doesn't do or a bunch of new problems it brings up. And Redux feels like it's approaching maturity a little bit in that people are realizing what it's not good at or how to work around some of its limitations or things like that. So that's a pretty interesting one to me. I mean, MobX is like the new thing that people talk about on Twitter now, which I don't understand yet, but I just know I hear smart people saying nice things about it.
MobX is very interesting because somebody organically came up with Ember's object model from a totally different route. Like it was pitched to me, I think by the author as like, oh, here's observables, because he was using observables. But at the end of the day, really it's a way to set things on an object and then observe changes to those objects, like in trigger events. So it's very much the same thing as what Ember has been doing for a while. So it is interesting that it's kind of come back to that. But yeah, it's cool. I hear there's a couple people here at Netflix that work on like an RxJS and Redux integration too. Those guys are nuts. I don't know anything about
it. I was going to mention them as like a horrible example, but.
Like, is that the three ducks thing?
That totally is.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the logo. The three duck.
I was going to say that logo was originally pitched as a logo idea for Redux.
I know, and I'm sad it didn't. I'm glad it's being used, I guess, is how I'll say it.
Oh, so you were rooting for that one.
I totally was. Like, anybody can make a cool-looking swirly thing, but three ducks, that shows guts.
Well, I appreciate your support.
But yeah, observables, and there's kind of the observables camp, and RxJS is one of those things. I guess CycleJS isn't a React thing, but it...
Well, it's observables. It's, we don't have a camp. We actually have a cult, I think.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, they make me put on a big hat and there's like chants and stuff. I don't know.
But how do you deal with unbelievers though?
We dispose of them quickly.
Okay, good.
we unsubscribe. Yeah. It's a thing. It's a thing. People are pretty excited about it.
there's one more, I guess, camp that I want to talk about, which is like the Ryan Florence idea of using components for crazy things that you wouldn't think of using them for. And I feel like he's the one I see talk about this the most, but I'm starting to see more people talk about that. He's actually going to talk about this in his React Rally talk, but he'll have like a, I don't know, like a promises component instead of like doing all the promises handling himself in JavaScript. And he just does bizarre, to me, bizarre looking things, but he's really sold on this idea of using components to compose things together instead of just writing all the, I guess, more imperative JavaScript to do all that stuff yourself.
Yeah. The idea of using components for configuration.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what the router does, right? Because a router has zero DOM concerns, which is usually what, you know, the JSX is going to be used for.
Yep.
So yeah, it's definitely interesting. I've experimented with stuff like that in the past with Ember and Angular. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't want to disparage anyone's ideas. I want to see his talk and you know, sure. see if it sways me at all. But I'm kind of iffy on that approach.
Sure.
because to me it's like, what's the difference? This is both an argument for and against it, but like, what's the difference between configuring it in code and configuring it in JSX that is still sitting in your code, right? Like, I don't know. So that could be an argument for doing it that way too, though. So I guess,
sure.
Yeah, it's. I'm interested. I'm interested to see his talk. I think it'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm. So somebody asked earlier what we're excited about for React Rally.
Yeah.
Do you want us to talk about that?
Absolutely.
So, the two things I'm excited for are just the talks in general. We got a ton of submissions, and it was really hard to pick the final list of talks because there were so many good ones. But I am pretty excited about the one. Like, I'm legitimately excited to watch every single talk that's going to happen. So those would be great. And then we just have some fun stuff happening in the breaks and the party and things. They're kind of set up to get people. I've been to conferences before where I don't know very many people. And what I usually do is I either just sit next to the people I know the whole time and talk to them, or just like sit by myself in the corner and do nothing. So the goal with the breaks and activities is to give people something to do or watch or participate in somehow that'll help people connect a little bit. And you don't have to, you can just sit and hang out if you want to, but it should hopefully make it easier to meet and interact with people, to just have something interesting going on. So I'm excited for both of those things. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, I kind of think the approach that we're taking as we organize this, like, this isn't our full-time job. We're not like professional event organizers. We're, you know, just like anyone else that's speaking or attending. We're developers. You know, we have careers, and we've attended a lot of conferences. And so I think we kind of organize it with the approach of having been speakers, having been attendees, like, what would make this the best experience that we would want to be a part of it, right? Like, as a speaker, what would we wish had happened at previous conferences that we've spoken at, or what are things that we wish we would have been able to do at conferences as an attendee? And so I think it's just overall, no matter how you're attending this conference, it should be a really great experience. As like Jameson said, we take a special approach with a lot of the reason people attend conferences is to interact. Like, there is the talks, but really you could watch that online later. They're going to be posted to YouTube or something like that usually. But a lot of the experience is interacting with people and having a chance to mingle and get to know people and make new connections. And we set a lot of time aside during the day that you don't have to like just do a hallway track and skip talks to meet with people. Like, we have like hour long breaks throughout the day, with things organized that you can interact with people or you can do activities. Overall, I mean, I think it's just going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited to be there.
Yeah. My experience with these larger conferences too, you know, having the great fortune of knowing a lot of the folks that are speaking or speaking myself, like, I also find that like getting all of these people together in one spot, the same sorts of people that you see up speaking or that are there because they've got some affiliation to a framework or libraries that are very popular, getting them all together in one spot is a really interesting and powerful thing, because now all of a sudden they're talking about things in person and spending time and maybe going out and having a beer together later, that sort of thing. And like, things actually change in frameworks. So I want to, there's another thing I really want to ask you guys about, and particularly Matt. So this is something that I know Tracy will be very, very excited about, which is that Tracy loves CLI. She likes Ember CLI.
Love.
She likes Angular CLI.
Love.
because they made it really easy for her to get started. You know, when you're a beginner, like setting up, and I think she's a little beyond beginner now, actually. whenever, you know, setting up your own build and everything, that's really daunting even for like a mid-level developer. And I know, Matt, that you had worked on this Racked CLI.
Sure.
I was wondering like how that's coming along, if it's something it's still going to be delivered, or like where is that headed?
Oh, wow. It's like not something I've really thought much about in the last year, honestly. So that kind of gives you a little bit of an idea of where it's at.
don't listen, Tracy. Right.
Is the Racked CLI the same as the React CLI?
No. So I started a job about 2 years ago. I was working with Ryan Florence, and our job on the team was to make like reusable components for the rest of the team to consume. And after I made two or three of them, I realized like there's a lot of boilerplate that I'm recreating for each one of these, and I wanted to simplify that as much as possible. So at the time, it was like me and Michael Jackson and Ryan Florence were all members of like the React organization, which has now kind of been absolved into the React.js org. So that's kind of where it got its name, was the React CLI. And it was just the idea of, I want to be able to spin up new components as easily as possible. A lot of them were getting published to the React org. And that's kind of what that CLI was meant for. It didn't really address like the bigger scope of like setting up an application. I intended to tackle that at some point, but I was just kind of addressing my immediate need, which is really, I think, where most open source projects stem from, is I have a scratch that needs to be itched, right? Or vice versa, however you say that. So that's kind of what I started with, and it got to a point that it was working pretty well. But then, like I say, I've kind of got this other project that I'm working on, and I haven't been spending a lot of time on those components. So it's kind of just been shelved for now. I know that Pete Hunt at one point was working on a CLI as well. And then I haven't heard a lot about that either. So I know there's a couple efforts, but there's nothing like official React sponsored type of a CLI. And I think it'd be really awesome to have something like that.
New project.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting is Angular CLI is actually built off of Ember CLI.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with one of the React CLIs. One of the React CLI projects is actually based off of the Ember CLI.
Really? See? Mm-hmm. So much love.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about Ember is the CLI.
It's really good.
So when I started, I did like 2 weeks of HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, and then got on Ember immediately. So I don't even understand ES5 or vanilla JavaScript very well. I only understood the Ember way. And it wasn't until I got into Angular that, because Angular CLI is so alpha, beta, whatever you call it, you know, realizing that there's a Angular CLI build.js and there is a system config, like all these files that I had no idea existed before, because Ember is so smooth at handling it for me. So I feel like I've become a better developer. Sometimes when I do Angular, I'm like, yeah, I'm more of a developer doing Angular. But it's also nice to have something that's, you know, so solid like Ember CLI. So
yeah, Tracy's good. She'll it used to be like she'd have a problem and she would message me, and then she would like wait for me to come.
Panic
like,
attacks,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah, she'd have a panic attack, and then she'd wait for me to come like. Say like something like give her some clues or whatever. So she go look at it. And like now she'll have a problem. She'll message me.
Have a panic attack.
And then by the time I get back to her, she's like, oh, never mind. I figured it out.
That's great. Yeah.
So there you go.
I just have more people added on screen here.
So maybe you should build the React.
Yes.
Yes. Do it.
Well, right now I want to contribute to the Angular material too. I was really passionate about it. So I started creating this doc site, and then I opened up Angular material too. And I like, once I like started it on my machine, I realized that it's just there. It's just not visible to the public. So
yeah,
I was kind of depressed about
it. You got like a demo app, but the only way to see the demo app is to clone the repo and run it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty alpha or beta or one of those.
Yeah, so. Whatever.
Yeah.
But
I was going to say about the React CLI thing. I was at ReactConf, the Facebook one this year, and some of the team members were talking about it's again that thing where everyone does things in a slightly different way in React. And with Ember, there's like the Ember stack that has everything, and there aren't a ton of decisions to make. So it's a little bit of a trickier problem to make a CLI that supports all the different ways that people like to build React apps.
Yep.
Do you just make one that only works for like React Router and Redux, but then someone is going to not use it or complain about it because it doesn't support their different paradigm? I think there are a lot of boilerplates right now, and there are a few app CLI generator type things, but they're all pretty specific to the preferences of the person who made them.
Yep, definitely.
I don't know how to solve that problem. That's I don't know. I'm not smart enough to do that.
Well, what you need to do to solve that problem is just stomp around in the internet and tell other people that they're wrong.
Right? I think like that's
how that's this is JavaScript, man.
Yeah, that's how we solve everyone's problems right? get solved, right? Isn't that how that dictator got stopped in 2014 or whatever?
Yeah, he tried to do JavaScript the wrong way. And
yeah, and then people that's yelled where at the him. Stop Kony hashtag came from, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop Kony from using semicolons 2014, I believe was the hashtag.
No. Team semicolon for life, bro.
Oh, geez. This is like, so you side with him.
This is like Jay and his single. So now when I code, because I'll pair with like Ben and Jay. Mm-hmm. He has a single quote thing and spaces thing. So now whenever I'm coding something, like I always, I'm like, okay, single quotes only, spaces between things.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Jay, that
sounds right.
Jay Phelps will keep your ass in line.
Well, he submitted a PR to Ember. And changing all the double quotes to single quotes, yeah. And actually got it merged.
Yeah,
nice.
See, and that happened at a conference. See, so I mean, you go to a conference, you get things merged that might affect
that really matter.
10,000 lines of code, right?
Yeah, fine. And now he's on the Git blame on all those lines. Yeah, yeah. Man, I didn't know Jay wrote so much of Ember.
Right. Do you know what we should do, Jameson, as an activity for the conference is
what?
Free semicolon tattoos. Anybody that wants one, we'll just pay for it.
So at ngconf, Jeff Cross, you know, gave me a stack of Angular tattoos. And like, it's dangerous when you do things like that. Because then I spent the rest of the time going around tattooing people. Which was actually pretty great. It was a lot of fun. So
yeah, it sounds like it made the world a better
place.
If
you give me React tattoos, I will create a website called React Tattoo.
So do they need to be like on human skin already? I'm not sure how we would give you the tattoos. Or do you mean temporary tattoos?
Brand. Just a brand.
Temporary tattoos.
Yeah, Matt's hardcore.
No, I think that's not... do branding. Branding's faster. So I'll just go straight for that. All right, So... It's time. We need to wrap this up. So I have this is the most important question we've had this whole time. Who's got the best beard in open source software right now?
Just in general?
Oh my gosh.
Just in general. Well, I mean, in open source, let's say we'll refine it. Open source JavaScript.
I think Max Ogden's got a great beard.
Yeah, his is pretty solid.
But does his beard have a Twitter account though?
I don't know.
I mean. There are many ways to judge the beard, and the Twitter account is one of them. I think, did Eric Elliott have a beard? Or no, he just has like long flowing locks of hair, but he doesn't have a rad beard. He just has like a normal beard. I don't even know who else besides you and Matt have gigantic wizard beards.
I don't know how to say his real name. His name's Witchlight on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Kawandeep? I don't know how to say his name.
I think it's Coven, even though it doesn't. It to me read like Coven at all. Yeah.
Yeah. His beard's incredible also.
He has like the awesome curly mustache too.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. He's got epic facial hair and he does amazing like art and code things together.
That's pretty epic. I'm going to have to just live vicariously through you other folks as a bald faced man.
Your smooth cheeks.
Smooth cheeks lesh. That's what they call me.
That's like your outlaw name.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna have to change in my phone. I have US Benjamin Harold Lesh.
Yes.
Now I'm gonna have to be like Benjamin Harold Smooth Cheeks Lesh. Nice. So yeah. I always feel like whenever you guys call, so I have all my friends, I have their middle names and their full names. So like Sam is Samuel John Ciccone, but sometimes I feel like I'm yelling at them like, Benjamin Harold Lesh, what are you doing? All right. Well, thank you so much, guys. I'm really looking forward to React Rally. I'm really looking forward to the community. Thanks so much for being interviewed. And, you know, I'm looking forward to semicolon tattoos as well.
Mm-hmm. Or brands, depending on how it turns out.
Right. I'm getting mine like a teardrop.
Like, absolutely, yeah.
Is that like how many semicolons you've put in a project? So you'll have just... one teardrop for each project that you changed over to semicolons.
You're right. I'll get him like Russian prison tattoos. Yeah.
And we'll have to dress up like Power Rangers and fight bananas at React Rally.
I'm so looking forward to that.
actually really looking forward to that. So keep throwing ideas. I mean, there's rainbow tutus that we could, you know, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things we could do.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we will talk to you later. And thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Modern Web Podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. To find more podcasts, videos, and online conferences, check out modern-web.org or find us on Twitter @modernweb_. See you around the internet.